Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing, my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers, to hear their stories, what inspired their creations, what decisions changed their careers, what relationships influenced their work.
You have this relationship with the audience that is private between you and them. You critics want to write, people want to talk. We have our own thing. That nobody can break that. Once you build that, it can't be broken.
Will you please welcome Jerry Seinfeld?
Upright! Jerry Seinfeld!
Jerry Seinfeld debuted on HBO in 1981. It was the same year he first appeared on Johnny Carson. He was 27 years old.
Nice to be here tonight. A pleasure to be here tonight. It's a beautiful...
Seinfeld's material stood out. It wasn't about his upbringing or personal relationships. It was about our universal experience of everyday things.
Pajamas have got to be the world's funniest clothes. Who designed them to look that way, like a little tiny suit? You notice? Little collar buttoned down. And a breast pocket. There's a useful item. Is anybody using the breast pocket on your pajamas?
Seinfeld asked questions we wished we'd thought of, then he'd answer them with a casual precision that seemed to spin comedy out of nothing. In 1989, 8 years after his HBO debut, he and Larry David created a weekly series that would change both their lives.
This is the show, and we're not going to change it. Right?
How about this? I manage a circus.
Seinfeld ran for 9 seasons on NBC. It was a critical and popular success. The show, about nothing as it's been described, challenged some long-established laws of mainstream television comedy. It was brilliantly unsentimental. The characters rarely exhibited emotions other than exasperation.
What were you thinking? What was going on in your mind?
On set, the writers held strongly to a principle they dubbed no hugging, no learning. But the 76 million viewers who watched the series finale waited to see what would happen next to the performers they'd grown to love.
We could put on a show, maybe Bye Bye Birdie or My Fair Lady. Yeah, Elaine.
And even though conventional wisdom predicted spinoffs and sequels, Jerry Seinfeld went back to stand-up.
Anyway, there's something good there.
Is this your first gig?
And it wasn't easy.
Yeah, all the stuff I have never said before to anyone. It's just thoughts. So this is how comedians develop material.
Right.
And as you can see, it's quite painful.
He's done a few other projects as well. The latest on the internet is a show called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which combines some of his favorite things, driving while talking to his friends, and drinking coffee.
It's funny that you picked a Jaguar because I have a secret love of Jaguars, but I'm not a car person and I don't believe in spending money on cars, no offense.
Jerry Seinfeld has it figured out. He isn't destroying himself, trying to prove something. He isn't tortured by the challenges of his art. He keeps things simple and clear. Take his regular morning routine when he wakes up.
If my wife is up, I like that, because I do not like catpawing around.
Right.
I want to get up, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
So the first thing
I want
sports radio on, and I run the faucets, and I start splashing my face with water like Mace in The Hustler.
Like Mace in The Hustler? I was going to say more like Joan Crawford before she goes to the studio.
Jackie Gleason in The Hustler goes into the bathroom, splashes his face with water.
To revive himself.
To revive himself.
For the next round.
Yeah. And I took that. I said, that's great. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
That's how you face life.
Water, the
just
essence
water,
of life.
Water, water.
If I splash water on my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
before
is your...
you go on stage, is that what you do?
No, after I come off.
When you come off.
When I come off, the hardest thing when you come off is to return to your actual personality. You've blown your personality up to this, you know, Joker, Jack Nicholson face. And when you come off stage, I got to go back to me. And I need a minute. People will try and talk to me when I come off. I can't talk to them.
Yeah.
I go, I got to splash some water on.
I got to do the Gleason.
Yeah, I got to do Gleason.
I need some beautiful towels, monogram towels.
Give me
I have my own valise filled with towels.
That's how I like to start the morning. Shades up, radio, sports radio on, splash in the face.
Carpe diem.
Yes.
And then what do you have for breakfast? What's breakfast?
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
Honey and cinnamon.
So there's a kind of a military theme. There's a kind of a military base theme. Your home does not resemble a military base.
If I'm not funny, people die.
People are going to get hurt.
Yeah. You want me on that stage. You need me on that stage.
Is that how you feel?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
What word do you just use to describe what you do? What word do you use? What describes what you do?
Well, there's a term for it. I don't need to describe it with another word.
Right.
It's called stand-up comedy.
So you call yourself a comic. You don't call yourself an actor.
No, I'm not an actor.
You're not an actor.
I have acted.
Have you ever considered doing anything dramatic?
No.
Right. Why?
To what end?
Right, okay. It's just a waste of time.
Yes.
So when you saw someone like, the most, glaring example is when Jerry Lewis does King of Comedy and crushes it. When Jerry Lewis comes in there and plays that kind of just arid, it was so remarkable, his performance. It was breathtaking.
Really?
No, he was breathtaking. You remember the movie?
Yeah, of course I remember it.
I thought he was breathtaking.
All right, great.
And you don't see yourself doing that kind of
reversal. In the hands of someone like that, of course you do something like that. But
that's not what I'm saying.
But that's his movie, not mine.
Are you grading me? Am I not getting it right here? I'm just riffing with you.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that what I do is the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, but I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that I appreciate. What I'm saying is there are people that come out on film, comics, stand-up comics, clubs, performing. Maybe they go and do sitcoms where the shows are just beat joke, they tell jokes. And then they go into the movie business and there's some sense that there's going to be, and again, not just stand-up people, but the improvisatory groups, if they come from UCB or Groundlings, Corral is a good example. And they come on, and there is an amount of acting that's required. When you did your TV show, there was some acting that was required. So,
I got to act the whole show.
So you don't call yourself an actor, though. You just say, I'm a comic.
If I'm on the show acting, then I'm acting. I'm a comedian, okay? I'm a stand-up comedian.
Right.
That's what I call myself.
Right.
But I can act. Right. I just don't see the need for it.
Okay.
I don't think the world needs me to do that.
Okay.
We have Paul Rudd. What do you need me for? Right. You got Tom Hanks.
We've got a guy for that.
Yeah, we got a guy for that. Who can do? Can he do what I'm doing? Can he step into my shoes? No, there's many people that can do that thing, and I wish them all the luck and success. But my thing, only I can do my own head. My thing is to just
You probably splashed a lot of water in your face this morning, didn't you? You splashed an inordinate amount of really brisk water.
It's almost always three splashes.
Is it three? I'm feeling eight or nine splashes what went on this morning because you're loaded for bear. We're like in a deposition here.
I love talking with you. You know that.
No, I love talking with you.
Okay, so
who makes it in comedy? Who are the ones that make it? And it's a change in your lifetime. What does it take
to make
it?
Who's in show business? Let's answer that question, because I haven't. I'll tell you who's in show business. You know who's in show business, Alec? Who wants to be more than anyone else? Those are the people that are in it. The people that just go, I want to be in it. I'm going to be in it. Do I have the skill set? Do I have the talent? Do I have something to offer?
We'll find out.
Or not. It doesn't. I may not.
My take on that was when Pacino, I said to him, what do you do when you do a movie and the other person isn't that good? Like you're doing a scene. And I said, do you go up to the director and give them notes, say, tell them this, tell them? And Pacino said, nah, I never do that. I never do that. No, no, no. I said, what do you do? I said, what do you do when the people that you're working with, they're just, I mean, you're so talented. And it's like tennis, and you're hitting the ball with someone, and they're not that talented. And he said, Alec, all of us in the business are talented. Everybody's talented. Some of us are just more talented than others. But everybody in the room when you're working, they've got some kind of talent. Like you'd say, he has a talent for storytelling. He had a talent for this. But you're saying that people who – determination is a big part of it.
I'm saying it's – most of the people we see in the arts are there not because they had the most to offer, but because they wanted to be there the most.
Right. You believe, right. So when you were in clubs in your early years and you'd see people who were working, did you not that you cared about this or you were focused on this, but would you sometimes, because my friends who were in clubs and who were comics, there was a lot of evaluating of each other in the competition. It was very competitive. And would you look at people and say, I think he's got it or she's got it and they're going to make it and they don't or this one doesn't?
Yeah.
And a big part of your saying is just the drive.
Uh-huh.
They want it. They're a dog on a bone.
Yeah. You see a lot of that, don't you think?
I think so. Well, in the movie business, you can see people who they put it before everything else. You know what I mean? They're not.
What field of endeavor has the highest bullshit factor?
Right.
In your opinion?
Because
you've been in a number of different branches now.
Well, I think obviously government is
government
comes to mind
higher
first,
than you know, I think entertainment. Higher. Did you enjoy the Anthony Weiner show? This season?
Or not?
The show that he put on for us.
Right.
When that was going on, were you disgusted? Were you going, I love this? I loved it. Because to me, it was the visible man. Let's take off the face of the clock and watch the gears. And that's what that was. This is, you know, we're talking about people are in showbiz because they want to be. He wants to have power. He just wants it.
He wants it.
And most of them have all the guises and veils and you know, polish.
Well, they pretend that what you just hit on a very important point, which is that they pretend to some degree
that it's selfless.
That they don't crave power.
Right.
But the other thing about Weiner that I found unusual, I mean, listen, this is – I'm not going to say anything. I don't think I'm capable of saying anything that hasn't been said before. But the idea that you want to take pictures of your genitalia mm-hmm. and send it to women that you barely know, I wonder if there's an unconscious part of him that's like, I'm going to send pictures of my genitalia
mm-hmm.
to a couple of women who I don't even know that well. And let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice here. I'm putting all my chips on black 29. I'm all in. I got another pile, and I'm all in on sending this chick a picture of my you-know-what, of my personality. I don't have that desire.
Right.
I'm not
Yeah, sex is easier to understand than his get-off was ding. He looks at the phone, ding. That's it. Just press send. Where's the thrill?
Everybody has some component of them for what I call negative excitement. Like, what's your thing you want to do that you indulge some weakness of yours? You know what I mean?
Right.
Some people have food issues. They have drinking issues.
What would be mine?
What would be yours?
I don't think I mean, beyond tomato sauce, maybe.
Tomato?
Yeah.
That's your
But
weakness?
That's not that yeah.
You are. And for people who don't know you, see, this is the thing that in all honesty, I always, when I think about you, the list of things I think about is how not just professional and committed and all those other kind of lame words, you know, lazier words, but how, you know, just focused and hardworking you are. Like a lot of people look at you and view you as someone who is, but let's be very candid. I mean,
please, speak
you're
freely,
someone,
soldier.
People view you as someone who is this incredibly gifted person.
I love this show.
Right. And no, you are. But the point is that you, like, you don't work. It's like you go do things like you going on a trip to go do some gigs. It's kind of a thing. You're probably just doing a favor for someone.
I think that's more you. I don't think that's the general perception. I think that's you.
You do.
I think your image of me or what you think. Yeah, I think that's your sense of
it. I'm projecting.
Yeah, I think you're projecting.
Okay.
But you know that that's not me.
No, not at all.
You know that I love to work.
You're incredibly so.
But not, I'm not driven by anything.
You're very healthy.
Healthy. I'm not driven by anything unwholesome.
But you're healthier. But you are healthier than anybody else I've ever met in your profession. Everybody else I've met in your profession, it was you could do Saturday Night Live and be roaming the hallways of that building with them over the course of, you know, it's really more like 4 days, not a full week. And you're around them, other people I did a sitcom with, other people. I've been around a lot of people who make their living in comedy. I made films with them.
Right.
And some of them, you'd be around them, you know, within 10 minutes you understood what was really their deepest problem.
Right.
That they hadn't resolved.
Right.
Some of them it took a question of a few days. You don't have any problems.
No, I don't. But I do relate very deeply to all of those people you described.
Why?
In fact, I was watching the Emmys. It's the only part of the Emmys that I like when they do the Comedy Writing Award and each comedy writing staff puts up funny pictures. And then when the actual staff comes up on the stage and you see these gnome-like cretins just kind of all misshapen and I go, this is me. This is who I am. This is that's my group.
That's my people.
Yeah.
Just a but room you full don't of Marty that, Feldmans.
Yeah. Do you see that in me or no?
No.
Okay, well
no.
Then you've learned something here today.
What did I learn?
You learned that despite maybe I am healthy and somewhat functional, but I see myself as one of those guys.
Do you really?
That group of Colbert Report writers that are just, it looks like Madagascar.
We would never let them speak at the microphone.
No.
Colbert must accept the award.
No, that's where I want to hang out with those guys.
You do?
Yeah.
Like Barry?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're more comfortable with the Barrys of the
world. I'm only comfortable with those people.
Really?
Yeah.
Describe Barry. You have a special relationship
Barry
with Barry.
Barry Martyr is my very special friend. Barry is the author of the Letters from a Nut book under the nom de plume Ted L. Nancy. And he is he's also a fascinating compilation of function and dysfunction, which any interesting person is. He's a guy who's – what I love about Barry is I can call him right now. It's 11:30. That he will just say hello. He's always there, always at home. He's got a red couch. His living room looks like a murder scene. This, you know, very scary-looking stains on a white rug.
Where does he live?
He lives in Toluca Lake.
It's in Toluca Lake.
And we talk every day, usually an hour. On a good day, 2 hours. And we were talking yesterday about Chantix, the quit-smoking drug commercial where they list the side effects, and one of the ones that people have experienced with Chantix is weird dreams. And now we're trying to figure out, well, what's a weird dream, and do they have a hotline that you can call up and say, Bob, I got a guy here's, you know, woke up, he dreamt he had orangutan feet. Is that weird?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I've had that one, you know.
That's not weird.
Who doesn't have weird dreams? It's not weird.
Exactly. It's redundant. I had a dream last night. It's funny you should say that because I don't dream. Do you dream? Are you a dreamer?
Everyone dreams, Ali.
You do? Yeah. I don't remember my dreams. Very rarely.
Yeah.
You're a good sleeper.
Yeah, good sleeper.
The super healthy man that you are, that man, the water, the reveille, the up in the morning, I don't want a cat paw around, that man sleeps well. He sleeps well.
Yeah, because I haven't...
You lay down in your pillow
I haven't
and
done
go,
bad things you, right. to people. I have nothing to keep me up.
Is that what keeps people up?
Yes.
Is that what keeps people up?
Yeah, regret.
I don't think I do bad things to people.
You know, in the Jewish religion, we have a day, the Day of Atonement. It's Yom Kippur. When you think of the things that you did during the year and you repent.
So when that's a very short moment. It's almost like a moment.
Yeah, I just turn the page.
Exactly. You walk down the street. You kind of look down at a crack of the sidewalk and count to three and go, okay, I'm done. I atone.
Yeah.
You thought, I did snap at that woman when she spilled the coffee on my
linen
jacket.
No, I would never do that.
You would never do that?
No, I would never snap at somebody.
Never.
Never.
Never. I wish I could say the same thing. I have snapped at some people in my life. But a certain breed of people, people I thought were...
Nothing gets me more upset than you paying attention to those reactions.
Giving them the...
I don't like that.
I do have...
Because you're one of the great entertainers that we
I try
have.
To glorify and call it like I have like a Bruce Wayne syndrome. I got to put that cape on. I got to get the door and I got to straighten these people out. You talk to him for an hour or 2 hours. Is it a therapy for you?
Yes, because...
He's your therapy.
Yes, because
isn't that great?
We don't talk about anything important.
No agenda.
And we can just go, I'm bored of this. And then it just and you just change the subject. You don't even say I'm bored of this. I just change the subject.
You just are on the same frequency, the two of you.
Yeah. We love the sipping coffee and loudly, you know, on the phone. Right. The, you know, this sound...
I like to tighten my jaw. I do like to tighten. To get back to Barry, because I have a friend like that, my friend Ronnie Dobson. No, but I find that we all have to have a person who is that kind of a soulmate.
Yeah.
You can really talk. And it's interesting that it's a guy. Like my wife now is very close to that. I mean, I can tell her anything. I can say anything.
Wow, that's amazing.
I can say anything, and she'll look at me, and there will be some judgment because all women want to fix the man they're with.
Right.
They want to think that they have some that they have some kind of supervisory function in our lives.
Yes.
I've learned to have my wife take my inventory.
Right.
Tell me what's really going on. Show me what I'm missing about myself.
Right.
See, what you're not seeing is, and now what I do is I sit there and I go. First of all, I go like this. And they'll just say, are you listening to me? I'm like, yes. I'm every word. I agree with you. You're totally right. I do that. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And I really need to – thank you. I need to look at that more closely. Thank you for bringing that. I call Ronnie, who's my Barry. There's none of that. There's no judgment. There's no supervisory function. Is that the way it is with Barry?
If I ask for it, I will ask him the most challenging questions of life to me.
Any work-related?
Work-related, personal, you know, almost every call we have, it's why are we, what are we doing? Why are we here? Why are we even alive? And he'll give me an answer.
Right.
He'll give me an answer. Right.
What does he say? Why are we alive, according to Barry?
he would probably say...
to sit on the stained sofa in Toluca Lake and think the great thoughts.
Yeah. That's right. To laugh, to have fun.
To enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, to enjoy ourselves.
Be happy.
Yeah.
Jerry spends his days doing just that. And when he's not laughing himself, he's creating material to make others laugh. But even for Seinfeld, one of the greatest stand-ups of all time, some audiences are harder than others.
My wife will laugh, but at this point, 15 years in, it's that golf shot that you hit perfect, and it's got to be a perfect four wedge.
Pin.
Yeah, that hits the pin.
Hit the pin.
And she will burst out laughing. So I gotta, it's got to be a good one.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Coming up, Jerry Seinfeld talks about the family he grew up with and the family he lives with today. He has three kids. Here's the thing. Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear other comedians like Kristen Wiig, who, like Jerry Seinfeld, follows her gut when it comes to her career.
I don't like the word goal because I feel like those are always changing for me.
You don't like having goals.
I don't like having goals.
I don't.
That's why I, you know, do what I do. Yeah. I don't know. I want to direct. I want to live in Paris and paint. I want to do, like, I don't know. I want to do a lot of different things.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You think you could live in Paris?
Yeah.
And
hell
do
yeah.
what?
I don't know. Eat
You'd
bread.
Last in Paris for about two
that
months.
Is not, well, maybe, but
You'd
then last, I'd live in Paris for 2 months. How great would that be?
There you go.
Take a listen at heresthething.org.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
This is Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing. On the TV show Seinfeld, Jerry, Elaine, Kramer, and George were characters driven largely by unabashed self-interest.
Come on, let's go do something. I don't want to just sit around here.
Okay.
Want to go get something to eat?
Where do you want to go?
I don't care. I'm not hungry.
Growing up, Jerry Seinfeld's own family life served as a useful model of just that.
Look, my mother's an orphan. My father left the house probably 11 years old to work on the street and make a living on the Lower East Side. You know, they got married in their 40s. They had no concept of what a family should even be. And all I craved was the same fierce independence that they had in their lives.
They passed it on to you.
Indestructible. Indestructible. Self-contained, self-reliant people. This is not great going into a marriage, may I say. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was that guy saying, well, I got to go now. I got to go to work. And you don't think that this might be a problem for a person that's not used to being around that.
Right.
So it took me a long time to learn that, you know, that you have to be understand. Because to me, this life, my life, what I would call my life in comedy, is a life of sacrifice that I am only too happy to make. All my relationships, I got married at 45, all my relationships were as disposable as a Dixie cup. Excuse me.
With women, you mean?
Yes. I got to work. You're gone.
Right.
Well, if you're going to be on the road that much, we can't be together. Goodbye. Goodbye. I have had a sense of mission.
You were like Lee Strasberg in The Godfather Part 2.
Yes.
When he says, if I come back here,
the money's here,
here,
I'll know
money's
I have
here.
A partner.
I'll know I have a partner.
If it's not, I'll know I don't.
I'll know I don't.
He said, I'm going in the other room. That's the last time a really out-of-shape man took his shirt off in a movie, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Hair on the top of the shoulders.
Tufts of hair. little tumbleweeds of hair.
Yeah. Did you know him? Did you know Lee?
When I studied acting at this school on 15th Street, when I went to NYU, I went to Strasberg. They assigned you to the studio you went to, Adler, Strasberg, so forth. I went to Strasberg. And I had wonderful teachers, Marsha Houfrecht and Jeffrey Horn is a wonderful teacher, beautiful people. But, you know, the method of Strasberg was very severe.
Did it work for you? Were you one of those?
Well, it opened up your eyes to the idea of whatever word you want to use. I'm never going to use the right word for everyone. You know, to mine your past and mine your emotional fabric to get where you want to go. Whereas Strasberg and Stanislavski, both people don't necessarily stumble across this fine print in all these writings of theirs, where what Stanislavski and Strasberg both said is that the method, so to speak, is something that you apply only if inspiration fails you.
You don't
need to go off into a room and twist yourself into some kind of psychological pretzel to do this work if you can just say the words and you're there. You feel connected to the character in and of yourself.
Do you have a desire as an actor to be one of those guys? One of those, I'm going to take my rib cage and separate it.
When I was younger, I did.
You did?
When I was younger, I did.
Did you feel, was there a role where you felt you got close to that?
When I did Streetcar Named Desire on Broadway and Amy Madigan, I would scream, Stella, Stella, for her to come downstairs.
Right.
And Amy would come. And the minute I would touch Amy, I'd burst into tears.
Wow.
And I remember I loved Amy more than any woman I ever loved. You know, at that moment.
Right.
I mean, and it was real.
Right.
I was in love with Amy.
Do you think I'm capable of that kind of work?
I think you are.
Oh, but come
be a
on.
But it would be a tremendous mistake on your part. It would be one of the poorest choices probably in show business history for you to go and decide you want to, what do you want to do, a Streetcar on Broadway?
I was in an acting class where the guy did have me play Brick, but that's Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Because I was able to handle the light comedy so easily. He said, I need to challenge you more. So he had me, then he said, I want you to study the role of Brick. Wasn't that the name of the character in Streetcar?
Brick. Yeah, Brick Pollitt.
No, in Cat and the Hot Tin
Cat and Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah, the Newman role.
Yeah, Newman.
Yeah.
Maggie and Brick.
Yeah. Well, that's when I left that
There's
class.
A girl, you'll appreciate this because you're from Long Island, and I met this woman many years later, and even she laughed about it. So I can say this. You remember Pergamon's hardware store?
Sure.
Okay, right. I went to college. I went to GW for 3 years, and I went and I took my last year there, my junior year, before I climbed over the wall there and went to NYU to study acting. I took acting for non-drama majors. It was a gut course you take at GW. I took acting for non-drama majors, and everyone in the class – this was one of the things that gave me the impetus to be an actor because everyone in the class was so horrible, and I squeaked by. Like, I wasn't that bad. I was okay in terms of performing. And the teacher said to me, I want you to do a scene from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, a Maggie Brick scene, and your partner is Debbie Pergament, who was the daughter, I don't want to call her the heir to the Pergament fortune, but let's just say that for our comedy purposes. Debbie Pergament.
Yeah.
And literally she was this lovely girl, adorable, gorgeous, really cute as the day is long, but she was from, like Roslyn or somewhere. So when she would say, she was the only person who made Brick a bisyllabic word. She was like, Brick, Brick. I am like a cat on a Hudson roof here. I am so upset.
Oh, that's so funny.
Debbie Pergamon was my partner in a scene study class, and it was eye-opening.
So where do we want to go now? Your career now... you're seeing another corridor for yourself, something you want to explore, something you have to offer, or be honest with me, are you just tired and you just don't want to travel and schlep and deal with these idiots?
You want to know the truth is I want to be more like you.
Really?
Because you are a very happy, like I look at you and I say to myself, everything is always like, why aren't you doing what other people do?
Right.
Like, meaning, mm-hmm. like the first thing people would say in the business, I mean, even outside the business, if they have some savvy about it, was they'd say, did Jerry want to ramp up a production company and just print TV shows? How many sitcoms could you have launched with the imprimatur of your name
Forget
it. You could have your own channel.
Oh, yeah.
The Jerry Channel.
Yeah. But I didn't take that bait.
Why?
Because I know what it is. I know what it is. That's why.
What is
you it? Can't pull that over on me.
What? What is it?
Because I've sat in all the chairs. I've been in all the rooms. I know what it is. Look, Alec, you've been there, right?
Yes.
You can't trick me into thinking.
Thinking what?
That's
share
good.
With the people. Right.
That's good.
And it's not good. Why?
Because
don't produce.
Most of it is not creative work and not reaching an audience. You want to be on the water? How do you want to be on the water? You want to be on a yacht? You want to be on a surfboard? I want to be on a surfboard. I don't want to deal with a yacht. That's a yacht.
And you just also
some
thought,
people want a yacht to say, see my yacht.
Right. And you just didn't want people, do you? And you also didn't want to ultimately wind up putting your name, as is often the case. Like, in other words, if you're the goose that lays the golden egg, you're the successful person and it all emanates. You're the godhead, if you will, comedy-wise. And you go launch all these other shows. And all those other shows, they aren't maybe as good.
Of course they're not.
Right,
and
right,
how much
right.
of your day is spent? Well, why doesn't he want to do it? Right. Well, how much would we have to spend?
No, not even
to get
for
him?
Ones for you to be in, though, but for ones for you just to produce.
Whatever it is. Yeah, whatever it is. Let me tell you why my TV series in the 90s was so good. Besides an inordinate amount of just pure good fortune. In most TV series, 50% of the time is spent working on the show. 50% of the time is spent dealing with personality, political, and hierarchical issues of making something. Mm-hmm. We spent 99% of our time writing, mm-hmm. me and Larry. The door was closed. Somebody calls. We're not taking the call. Right. We're going to make this seem funny. That's why the show was good. I didn't want to go from that to, you know, some H.G. Wells contraption right. machine, you know, of trying to control the weather. That's what these deals are. That's what making a movie is. What's a movie? It's this giant machine. It's this giant ship. And everybody gets on it, and they shove off, and nobody knows where it's going.
Yeah, no, they don't.
And the captain is doing, where's the captain? Yeah. He's getting high and sleeping with the first mate.
Yeah. He's asleep, period.
Yeah, so it's too much time and energy spent on that is not the juice, the really good stuff. Is a great line.
So when you go out.
So as a stand-up comedian, I can control that.
So when you go out on stage now, for you, other than whatever other things you're involved with, writing or Comedians in Cars with Coffee and mm-hmm. so forth, you go out on stage, you perform live. How many shows you do, on average, would you say? I'm not sure it varies, but you're on the road. How many shows a year?
Maybe 75.
So you do 75. So you do 75 appearances a year.
Yeah.
And is it just very simply a case where you walk out there, that exchange of energy between you mm-hmm. and them? Mm-hmm. They want what you've got. You want what they've got. You're at home. You feel comfortable. You're happy.
It's a very fulfilling, unsolvable puzzle that is endlessly. It just goes right to your soul.
Does every night need to be different if you can make it so? Do you try to make it different?
There's nothing I can do about that. It's going to be different.
It's going to be different.
Yeah. But if I can get them right where I want them and get myself where I want myself and the thing just explodes, well, you know.
It's fun.
That's life.
People who perform live, I'll never forget there was an article like in Esquire magazine or somewhere, and they did an article about Wayne Newton. And it was about Vegas, and I think it was about Wayne Newton. And I love this article. And they weren't mean toward him or diminishing him. And they were saying how they thought it was uncanny how the guy went to the show in Vegas with a stopwatch. And Newton came out, and he did the same thing every show, the same exact thing, same exact beats. Yeah. He just cloned one show after the other. Right. And he would come out, but he would create the dynamic tension that this show was different.
Right.
And he'd come out on stage, the people would be screaming, and the women are throwing their panties, and they're throwing their hotel room keys at him, his crowd. And then he'd sit there and he'd say, you know, we gotta wrap this up, but, you know, I love you people so much. I'm going to do something. I'm going to sing a song. I never sing anymore. And it's a song he just sang, like, you know, 90 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing a number for you guys. I never sing anymore. I never break this one out anymore.
Yeah.
And he just recreated the same... you know, mock freshness of the mm-hmm, whole thing, mm-hmm. which many performers, I assume, they do that.
Yeah, he used to say, tell them to lock the doors. They don't want me to go long, but this audience, I don't care. I don't care.
I'm going to do something for you I never do.
Yeah, I'm
breaking the rules.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, he would end right on the button.
You performed in Vegas?
All the time. Right. So they throw the hotel room key. How desperate is this entertainer, by the way, to just pick up 15D and go, I'm heading over there.
I'm going over there.
Yeah.
I'm going over there. Which one of you is 15D? Oh, you? I'm sorry. Let me give you your key back. I'm sorry. I don't want that key.
Coming up, more from Jerry Seinfeld. He's got so many years of stand-up under his belt. When he travels, as he does most weekends, every move is planned.
It is organized with military precision. Not an ounce of fat on it.
An ounce of fat on the day.
It's three guys, three suits, three garment bags. We're in, we're out, and we have a great time. We work very hard.
It's zero dark 30.
It is.
You're in?
Yeah.
Get Bin Laden, go.
That's
go.
Right.
Yeah. Fingerprint
right.
the dead body, zip bag, body bag, go.
It's a beautiful thing. This is what I was given from the TV series, that I could live like this now.
Yeah.
On my own terms. That's what we're looking for. On my own terms.
On my own terms.
Right?
God, I've, that's such a foreign concept to me.
Yes. Of course. The life of an actor is anything but that.
Anything but.
Right. But this is where we're moving now with Alec.
God.
Yeah.
My God.
On my own terms.
More wisdom from Jerry Seinfeld in a moment. This is Alec Baldwin. Take a listen to our archive. More in-depth conversations with artists, policymakers, and performers like Patti LuPone, Erica Jong, and Debbie Reynolds.
Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you. What fun, you see?
I can't sing to save my life. If you put a gun to my head and said sing,
well, you almost sang on key.
Go to heresthething.org.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
This is Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing. When Jerry Seinfeld was 10 years old, he started feverishly studying the techniques of stand-up comedians on TV.
Devouring it, just like my daughter does now. My daughter has totally got whatever that gene I had. She's got it. She can do any voice, accent, takes, lines. Her brother said to her this morning, she's wearing glasses, she has glasses. Her brother said to me, he said, are those real glasses? She looked at him, she said, what do you think? She's 12.
Yeah. No, they're
fake
glasses.
She's already ready
to go play Ayn Rand at the local library. Yeah, they're fake glasses. Yeah, wait. Schmuck. Under a break. Schmuck.
But, okay, so my house, I assume my childhood was... my relationship to my parents was, you do what you got to do, I'll do what I got to do, and I'm just living here till I can figure something else out. That was my house. And to me, that was great. We've talked about this, you and I, before.
Everybody was very independent.
Yes. My father never hugged me, never told me he loved me, never threw me a ball. No problem.
I'm good.
You're good.
I'm watching F Troop. You go do whatever you got to do.
That's right.
Me and Larry Storch are having some time together.
Right. Who was the guy who blew the horn when the tower fell over? Remember at the beginning of each show?
I forget. Was it?
Larry. It was another
was
Larry.
Was it Larry Storch?
No. Larry Storch was Agarn.
He was Agarn.
There was another
Ken
Larry.
Barry was Captain Parmenter.
Captain Parmenter. He wasn't really funny, but there was another guy, another Larry, who was at the top of the tower. Remember the tower would fall over? The beginning
of he was that very kind of vanilla-looking.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't Larry Wilcox who went on to do Chips. No.
No, it was another Larry. Anyway, but I was Abbott and Costello. I really became obsessed with them because of the precision wordplay. That's where they went beyond. There was Laurel and Hardy and then Martin and Lewis, but Abbott and Costello had this precision. I mean, Who's on First is a piece of, it's like that museum in Spain, you know, the
Prado.
No, the other one what's his name did?
The Geary did.
Yeah.
Right.
Whose real name is Goldberg, by the way.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
He changed it in college.
Frank Geary's real name
is... Yeah, what's the name of that museum in northern Spain?
Begins Bilbao.
Bilbao, yeah. Anyway, that's what Who's on First is. It's like, what a construction. What a brilliant piece of construction. So, and when I heard things like that, I just would get very excited that you could do things like that with words and ideas and attitudes and have laughs, you know, have laughs.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad would go to work and my brothers and sisters would go to school and my mom was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I probably missed school like 30 or 40 days a year.
You did?
And it was a game. I was totally full of shit. I'd say to my mom, I don't feel good.
Right.
And my mom would be like, all right, you get in there and go to the breakfast table and pretend you're going to school until your father leaves. And then when he's gone, you can go back upstairs. And I would go and lie on the couch. And they would show the same movie 5 days in a row.
Right.
So the housewives, who could only catch a piece of it here and a piece of it, so they'd show Inherit the Wind.
Right.
And by Friday, I was laying in bed. I missed school for 3 days. And Friday, Spencer Tracy would say, this man wants to be afforded the same rights as a sponge. He wishes to think. And I'd lip sync the words. I knew. I'm like your daughter.
Right.
I became a complete movie savant.
So that's where it began.
And then when we got into the Aaron Spelling years, I abandoned TV.
Yeah.
I never watched TV again after
Right.
that. No
right.
Charlie's Angels.
And now me. What do you watch?
Now
I come into your house. It's 10:45 at night. Everyone's the wife, kids, baby's asleep.
I'm reading.
You're reading.
I'm reading
on the internet.
I read a book or I read the New Yorker to get me to sleep. Reading helps me get fall asleep.
Right.
But when I watch TV, God, when I NFL, I watch. I make appointments for NFL, 60 Minutes. I watch MSNBC. I watch. I've watched snippets of these shows. You know, like Breaking Bad and these contemporary. You know, these juggernauts.
They don't hook you.
I don't have time. I don't have time.
I don't have time. I don't understand either.
I don't.
Where are they finding the time? Did you download House of Cards? No.
Yeah.
28 hours is the first episode. I can't. What are they doing? How long are their days?
Well, I always would get that. I would always be flattered for a moment. There was always a double beat there when someone would walk up to me with Lorne.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd walk up and they'd say, Lorne would say, oh, you know Dave here, Dave Swanson from, Comcast. And I'd go, hi, nice to meet you. And he turned to Lorne and go, God, you guys, I got to tell you, my son broke his leg skiing and he was in bed, he was in traction. And we watched seasons 2 and 3 of 30 Rock. And I thought, I'd smile. And then I thought, well, that's how you get to watch seasons 2 and 3 of 30. You got to go out and break your leg skiing. You got to go wrap yourself around a tree.
Yeah.
Then you can lay in bed
right.
and binge view all this. I
do not understand how people are fitting this into their days.
So there's not even one show that you're...
I really love Mad Men because that was my dream growing up on Long Island, was to get a Samsonite briefcase, go on the Long Island Railroad. I was going to go in the city and I was going to work at a big ad agency and write funny ads. That was my first dream.
That was?
Yeah. Because stand-up comedy that I was seeing on The Sullivan Show, that was too far out. These are some genius alien people.
Exactly.
I could never be one of those people.
I'm not going to get that
Yeah,
chance.
But maybe I could be a copywriter or something in the ad game. I love advertising. I love Manhattan. You remember growing up in Massapequa, Manhattan was Oz. It was the Emerald City.
I tell people, when we were kids, there was no Bergen County correspondent. The Martians could have landed out in Hempstead. No one cared. The Martians did land in Hempstead because they knew there were no cameras out there. When you grew up in our generation, it was like, the mayor announced today of the subway today, the cop shot on the IND, the perpetrator this, the bank robbery this, and it was all Manhattan, the garden today, the heavyweight champ. Everything was Manhattan, not even the other outer boroughs.
Right.
And when you lived where we lived, that was Saskatchewan to the media.
Remember Alan Burke? Did you ever see Alan Burke?
Yes.
And they would come up. They had never correctly estimated the average height of a New Yorker. The podium was always way too high. Mr. Burke, I just came in from Mars, where the Taxi and Limousine Commission there. They would always bring it right back to some New York issue.
What were we saying before? I just lost my train of thought when we were talking about before you said about New York and Mad Men. Now.
So Mad Men, that is my fantasy.
And that lasted how long? Well, when did you cross over and decide I could do the other thing? How old were you?
It was in college. Queens College.
What'd you study there?
Theater, communications, film, all that stuff. I
were
was
you
circling.
Doing Canada, roof? You were
circling. I was circling the field, you know, going, how could I? I wonder if I could, you know.
Did you decide to
And then there was Andy Kaufman. Then Andy Kaufman happened. Right. There's this guy in New York who goes up on stage, he plays the bongos, and starts weeping. He's crazy.
Here I come to save the
yeah.
day.
So we all ran in to see Andy Kaufman at the Improv. And as soon as I walked in that room and I saw what was going on in there.
I got to get in on this.
Yeah. I want to be one of these guys.
And when you got up there and finally through whatever apprenticeship you had and when you got up there and you did that, was there a moment where like some guy comes up to you? I don't mean to be too Broadway Danny Roosevelt.
Yes, there was.
But did some guy walk up to you and go, kid, call me. You know, you got
Yes, there was.
Who
and
was
you know
guy?
Who that guy was?
Who?
Jackie Mason.
No.
Jackie Mason. Alec, I was doing comedy about 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And I mean stumbling. Nobody, 3 weeks. I'm 19 years old, 20 years old, of going up on stage. It wasn't even a stage. It was a restaurant where they'd take a table out and they would take one of the lights, the lamp, and they would take the shade off it. That was the show. He was in the audience, 15 people. Right? It was one of these cabaret things, West 44th Street. It was called the Golden Lion Pub. He crooks his finger at me. He says, come over here. He takes me over to the bar. He says, you have it. He says, you are going to be so big. He says, it makes me sick to even think of it, of how successful you're going to be. And I was just starting.
Wow.
And that, I mean, that was it. Because he was a very big comedian. Still one of my favorites, great comedian. But to have a guy like that come up to you as a kid.
I had a similar experience.
That's still, you know, when I talk to you about, I went in the Improv and I saw all these guys. And I thought, I want to be one of these guys. That's still how I feel.
Now, was there a moment when, for me, one of the real pure joys of this business are the people I've gotten to meet.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, you know, go on and on and on. But were there people who came to you that were like these godlike figures to you, where you just admired them from your world, they came up to you and said, hey, man, they winked at you and said, it could be Carson across the room.
Well, Jack Rollins, who I looked up because I saw your movie, which I loved, Blue Jasmine, and you were great in
Kate
it.
Kate was great.
And I see Jack Rollins is in the credits. I look up, he's still alive. He's 98.
Yeah.
His daughter was a waitress at a comedy club on the Upper East Side. And she brought him in to see me and Larry Miller and Jimmy Brogan. And he watched the three of us. And then he sat and talked with us afterwards. And he was very encouraging, very flattering. That was really big because we were in it about a year at that point. We didn't know there was no business to get into, even if we could do this. It didn't even exist. There was no place to work as a stand-up comic in 1977. It didn't even exist. It happened in the 80s once there were all these guys around. Then these clubs started opening around the country.
And what about someone else, someone beyond a 98-year-old man who exists in the credits of a Woody Allen movie? Who was some iconic stand-up figure?
Well, I saw Richard Pryor in those days. He would come into the clubs and we would
and say
talk.
Something to you.
George Carlin. No, he never said anything to me, but just to meet those people.
You know? Was there one at some point who, other than Mason, who said, you've got it? Was there
no.
One, right.
No.
No.
No. You don't need that. Any okay. self respecting professional comedian, you don't need that. You don't need anyone or anything. You are built for brutality. You have this relationship with the audience that is private between you and them. You critics want to write. People want to talk. We have our own thing that nobody can break that. Once you build that, it can't be broken by outside forces. This is the difference between being a comedian that has his own thing and everybody else in the entertainment field who needs to cooperate to survive. The comedian, what do I care what somebody writes about my show? What do I care?
Yeah.
So even doing the series and even knowing I had these other avenues I could pursue, that's so pure and so perfect and so good. It's not easy. It is a rigorous life to maintain that. You know, I don't hang out on stage. You've seen the show. I don't hang out. I'm up here to work. I'm going to work for you. because I respect this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep it. Mm-hmm. I want to keep it. Because once you have that, you can do what you want.
Jerry Seinfeld has meditated for over four decades, and it shows. He says it makes stress float away. I wanted to find out more about Jerry and meditation, so I called him.
Transcendental meditation? That's what I do.
Okay.
TM.
Right. And how long have you been doing that?
Since 72.
So when did that come into your life? You like saw a billboard when you were at the Long Island Railroad Station?
At Oswego State University, where I was enrolled because I couldn't take senior year anymore. So I left high school 6 months early and got into college and left in the middle of senior year. Now, I know you didn't do that.
No.
Because you were handsome and the girls were hanging off of you. And senior year was fantastic for you. Yeah. That's what I know.
It was a vending machine of women. It was
just
endless. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like that for me,
right,
buddy boy.
Okay.
All right. So I thought, I got to get out of here and start a new life with people that don't know me.
Okay.
So I went to Oswego. And while I was there, and I remember this is still in the flora and fauna of 60s experimentalism. So transcendental meditation, somebody told me about it. I don't remember who. And I thought, well, let me see what that's about. And I went to the thing and I learned the technique. It cleared up my acne immediately. I had this great energy and focus, and I've been doing it the rest of my life.
So you sound, when you say you learned the technique and it cleared up your acne and you had energy and focus, it sounds like you ultimately had the sex that had been evading you up till then before you went to Oswego.
That's correct.
So the TM was really a pathway to sex, correct?
What isn't?
Right. How can I do it? Like, where do you do it? Can you do it anywhere, or do you have to be in a sacred space? You can do it anywhere.
I'm going to get you doing it now.
I want
you
to get me
doing it. You're my next victim.
I want more energy, more focus.
Yeah,
I want my acne to clear up.
Well, you don't need. You can't have more energy. You can't even dispose of the energy that you have.
It's true. But it's toxic energy. It's more like a Chernobyl than it is a kind of a babbling brook.
Okay, well, this is
a
different. This is a nice energy. Really nice. Here's how I'll describe it to you. You know how three times a year you wake up and you go, boy, that was a really good sleep?
Yes.
Imagine feeling like that every day.
Oh, my God.
That's what it is.
Meditation. I gotta try that. To download more of my Here's the Thing interviews, take a listen to our archive, where you can hear conversations with artists and musicians like Herb Alpert. Alpert hasn't spent 40 years meditating, but like Jerry Seinfeld, he's found the Zen in his art.
There's something about being an artist, being a musician, being a painter, being a sculptor. When you're doing it, you're in the exact moment of your life. And that's rare, you know? When you're not in that mode, you're thinking about yesterday or tomorrow or some other hazarai that really doesn't make any sense. But when you're doing it, man, it just feels so right on the moment.
I feel that way when I'm on my boat.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, cool.
I don't paint, and I don't. I wish I could paint.
Well, you should try it. I mean, when I started painting, I painted like a monkey. You know, I squeezed some paint on a canvas and moved it around.
A kid.
Yeah.
You had no training.
No training. I didn't know what I was doing. But I think there's an advantage to that. I think when you're an amateur and you're just fooling around, you have infinite possibilities.
Take a listen at heresthething.org. This is Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing, produced by Emily Botine and Kathy Russo, with Chris Bannon, Jim Briggs, Ed Herbstman, Melanie Hoops, Monica Hopkins, Trey Kay, Sharon Mashihi, and Lou Okowski. Thanks to Larry Josephson and the Radio Foundation.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.